Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Hello.
With the awkward silence pause. Okay, hey Ed, it is Valentine's Day today, and I'm curious, what do you
and who
Donna
am I spending Valentine's
do?
Day with? I'm spending Valentine's Day with Daniel M. No one I'd rather spend my Valentine's Day with. Actually, I spend my Valentine's Day with another Canadian not named Daniel M, just for the record. Her name is Donna Stetzer.
Okay, so I'm curious, what do you usually do? What have you done over the years?
I don't really know that that's any of your business. This is a really inappropriate question. Well, let's see. So we'll probably go to our favorite restaurant. It's called The Ivy here in Wheaton. And I don't know. We just hang out. We like each other. We're sort of friends. So we typically do a date night. We'll make it our date night February 14th. Next weekend, we're going to a show. And so that's kind of timed based on some tickets we were able to get. So this will be a nice quiet night with the dinner.
That's good. So,
and what about you? Since you guys have a marriage podcast, don't you have a marriage podcast?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Well, why do you laugh? I don't listen to your marriage. I'm sorry, I don't listen to your marriage podcast. I'm sorry, I don't listen to every single thing that you utter in a given day. You have like 9 podcasts.
No, I was joking because I was about to say, we record podcasts.
No, we don't
do that on Valentine's.
Nice. So, yeah, what do you guys do?
Valentine's for us. I mean, my kids are younger, so childcare is always a little bit more challenging for us.
I would watch your kids. Matter of fact, I could straighten your kids out.
Uncle Ed can watch the kids.
Uncle Ed, sit down. Sit down, kids. We're going to watch The Simpsons.
So for us, it hasn't always been, especially since ever since our kids were born, it was never always on February 14th. We would just be like, okay, when's the closest?
Valentine's Day is always on February 14th. Oh, you mean your celebration of it.
Yeah, when we would go out to dinner. It stays there always. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year we're doing dinner. We're doing a little bit low key because I've been trying to finish my book and just there's been a lot with the podcast and everything else going on. These past months have been very busy. So just sitting down and eating dinner together is a treat for us, just to talk and connect. Last year was fun. I took her to a cooking class. So it was pretty neat.
That is a great manly sacrifice.
No, it was fun. You know, actually, the way I read the description, I thought it was going to be like a Master Chef where we would do the cooking as well. But we ended up just
like
sitting.
Was it from Burger Flipper from like McDonald's or something?
No,
because you know at Burger King it's flame broiled, but at McDonald's they actually flip the burgers on the grill. I should know that. Can you tell I used to work at Burger King? Yeah, I did.
I was never a have it your way kind of guy. So
flame broiled, really flame. I mean, Burger King has not aged well. You know, McDonald's always keeping up to date, but Burger King's kind of like the person who didn't care about themselves and just kind of let it all go. So that's Burger King today.
Okay, all right.
That's me. But anyway, enough of all this.
So today on Valentine's, I mean, beyond that, I did want to talk today on today's episode about your book. So how many months has it been since your book came out?
Wait, my energy has suddenly come rushing forward. I've got a Red Bull right here. Let's go.
Yeah.
Talk about the book. Christians in the Age of Outrage. I'm outraged.
So how long since it came out now?
October. Was that 4 months?
Okay.
5 months?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you today is once your book comes out, and obviously you've been wrestling with the ideas for years now and talking about it and thinking about it, but once the book comes out, there's a sense where it's a little bit more public, it's out there, it's all together, people begin thinking through it, reading your thoughts in entirety, and people begin giving feedback or reacting. So what kind of feedback and questions have you been getting from church leaders as it relates to your book?
Well, how do I do this without like promoting a product? But let's get the little dinger ready. Ding.
Yeah.
So the most common question I got is, hey, can we do this in small groups? And okay. so we now have a small group study guide that we just released and through Tyndale and with video curriculum that accompanies it.
Oh, that's great.
We're super excited about, people are like really super excited about it. You know, it kind of is the best-selling book I've ever written by far. I think people are, you know, it's funny. People keep saying to me, boy, that timing, you're just so great in that timing. To be fair, it was actually Tyndale's idea because they had seen me write on this a lot. You know, I'm kind of concerned about this, concerned about that, and, you know, the outrage and Christians' participation in it. Yeah. And so Tyndale said, hey, why don't you write a book on that? And I'm like, and that was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I was like, nah, people aren't going to be still outraged. I mean, the election just happened and no way people are going to be outraged two years from now. Because that's how, you know, I mean, you've written a book.
Yeah.
Maybe you write faster than me, but 9 months to write it, maybe a year to get it through the system.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, it has just gone. People turn the outrage up from past 11 to 12. Hmm. And I think a lot of it is, you know, I mean, it's sometimes, you know, part of the theme is how outrage is geared towards Christians or outrage from Christians, and we've seen plenty of it. I mean, you know, in the month of January, we saw, you know, Karen Pence teaching at a Christian school being you know, announced and pronounced as so terrible because the school holds to traditional Christian beliefs about sexuality. We saw these kids with the MAGA hats, you know, and you could say, well, were they doing what they shouldn't have been doing? You know, they probably weren't. I mean, they're kids. They probably did some dumb things. There was some foolishness there for sure. But to see how people wanted to destroy that kid who stood there with the hat on facing the Native American elder. Well, it turns out that there's a lot more to that story than people actually thought. And whole news magazines and newspapers, I'd say, we too. People wrote The Atlantic published this public apology. I failed the Covington Catholic test, I think it was. And this was one article in the Atlantic. You know why? Because people rushed to outrage and a whole outrage cycle. And so, you know, I think that, I mean, I'm not a believer that I'm going to fix the culture, but I do think maybe we can help Christians. So I think the thing that has surprised me the most about the book and the response to it is people are using it as a discipleship tool to better engage culture. And that's super encouraging. And the study guide actually helps people to do that. And I wrote that study guide, co-written with Andrew McDonald.
With all that, I mean, recently, by the time the podcast releases, it's last month now where New York, right? The abortion law. I mean, all that change. And I mean, the number of posts I saw online, just talking about it and just from all sorts of different people here and there. Okay. With that, okay, just take that most recent example. As a pastor, what role, like how should a pastor react to that? Because for us, I mean, in Canada, they've had third trimester abortion for a while now. And I mean, there's obviously a lot more to it than what appears on the surface, you know, that was released in the news there. But you know, when you think about instances like that, or you think about situations like that, It's to post something blatantly and just kind of write an essay out online, you're basically shutting down conversation with those who might need it.
All right. So you know, my article that I wrote on it, which was, I guess, the most read thing on Christianity Today in the past week or so, you know, when we put it out, is New York State puts light for darkness and, quote, celebrates, unquote, death. And here's the thing. I'm unapologetically pro-life. And I recognize that some people would put that in the same category as other cultural issues. So some people might say, well, you know, it's kind of like we can agree to disagree on that. Well, being agree to disagree, you know, saying I'm personally pro-life, but not advocating for pro-life laws and life and more, that's called pro-choice. I mean, being personally pro-life but not wanting to impose on others is called being pro-choice. So let's not pretend that there really is such a thing as personally pro-life. That's pro-choice. Mm-hmm. And so, because no one's around, I mean, they're maybe lately, no one's aggressively, generally anti-abortion, I was going pro-abortion, but I guess we see that even lately in the culture. So here's the thing. So Canada and the U.S. are a part of a handful of countries, about seven, that basically now in many places have abortion on demand up to birth.
Yeah.
And so I think that the unjust laws in your homeland and mine, Canada and the U.S., really require a prophetic voice to speak up into it. And now how you speak up into it really matters. Yeah. So, you know, I just pointed out in my article that at the bottom of the World Trade Center complex at its 9/11 memorial, the lives of a whole lot of people are memorialized, but not everyone memorialized had yet been born. There are actually 11 pregnancies acknowledged, unborn babies acknowledged among the 3,000 names inscribed in bronze at the footprint of the towers, of the old Twin Towers. And then to project on the top of that, this reality that now New York permits abortion up to the moment of birth. Now, again, I think there are things, for example, we could say, all right, well, there's a great disagreement in our day and our time over issues of the rights of humans of different races. Well, you know, I don't want to rile people up by speaking up on that. No, I think there are some things that are just, and we should have righteous anger. You're actually right about that. I mean, I use abortion as an example. We should have righteous anger on some things. Now, again, you know, people always rush to, well, pro-life is so much more than that. Yeah, I've written plenty on how much it's more than that. So don't think that one podcast lays out all of my views on every issue. But so what I would say is there are places where we're going to have to find compromise even in that. I think it's a better world in which we live when there's fewer abortions. And abortions have been declining, and we want to continue to see that. And that means giving you know, unwed mothers opportunity. That means adoption. That means 100 different things.
Yeah, completely.
So for me, there are some things that you speak prophetically on, and there are some things you speak. But even when you speak prophetically, you speak winsomely because you're trying to persuade. Here's the deal. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, which I know people listen to this around the world, but that's the U.S. Court ruling. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, abortion will still be as legal in New York State then as it was before it was overturned. Yeah. So we also got to persuade people's hearts and minds.
So in light of that, for a local church pastor, let's say something like this, if we were to rewind the clock and that news came out, how would you advise local church pastors to react and respond to that online? Let's say it came out today, like what would you say? Okay, yeah. This is what you need to, or how you should approach it.
If the New York law came out today, if Governor Cuomo shined the top of the New World Trade Center, okay. What I would encourage everyone to do is to say, grieving, you know, I think every pastor can say something and be involved even at a greater level, but at least say, grieving to see the celebration of abortion in this way. We all have work to do. We have to build a culture of life and adoption and more. And so I think you can say something. And some of us can say a lot more than that. Obviously, I said a lot more than that as well. So I think that everyone can be engaged and involved at some level. And I think 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, that people in your country, my country, will look back and say, how in the world did anybody believe that an unborn child wasn't a child in the first place? I mean, we already see the sonogram changing people's minds everywhere. The Atlantic had this bizarre article basically laying out the badness of the sonogram because it helps people see what unborn children look like. Well, wow. I think 100 years from now, we're all going to look back with shame as at the way our country dealt with the unborn.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good word. Well, man, if you haven't yet picked up a copy of Christians in the Age of Outrage, be sure to do so because it's a great read. It's a fun read. You even learned that Ed watches This Is Us. I was so surprised when, yeah. I mean, it's a great show.
Donna made me. Yeah. I always do what Donna says.
So be sure to pick up a copy of that. It's, you know, read it with your team, read it with your, and even read it with your communications department or volunteer or staff member, as well as your lead elders, deacons and such, because it's going to be a great way to engage and move forward. Because, yeah, as Ed said, the age of outrage only continues to grow as time goes on. Well, thanks again for listening in. And as always, the New Church's Q&A podcast is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. So if you haven't yet checked out the Making Disciples podcast, that's a great one to listen into with Robbie Gallaty and Chris Swain. They talk about discipling your family, how to develop a discipleship pathway, how to sustain discipleship long term. So you're not going to regret listening into that. Just look up Making Disciples on your favorite podcasting app. You can start today.